To open up our Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter 14, once again. But now we read from verse 15. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father. And you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to him. In the last few weeks, we've been reflecting on the person and the work of the Holy Spirit, asking the question, who is the Holy Spirit? What does he do? What is the Holy Spirit's relationship to us? What can we understand about the Holy Spirit and what he does in us and through us? And today we reflect on the description given by Jesus concerning the Holy Spirit, describing the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth. As we noted in the passage we've just read, Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. Now, today, there are just three headings, hooks, as it were, that I'm going to take us through. First of all, I'm going to talk about love. It's always a good place to start. If you're ever stuck in terms of knowing where do we start, it's love. And then secondly, truth with a question mark. What is truth? And then the Spirit of truth. So the first two really are just setting the scene, understanding something of the context that we might better understand when Jesus speaks about the Spirit of truth. Who is he speaking about? What is he talking about? What does he want us to understand? But we begin with love. We begin with love. First of all, love for Jesus is what we have in this passage. This is what Jesus speaks about in verse 15. If you love me, you will obey what I command. There is love for Jesus by the disciples. So as Jesus speaks about the Spirit of truth, he talks about love. If you love me, you'll obey my commands. There is love for Jesus by the disciples. But then we also pick up that there is love for the disciples by Jesus. It's not a one-way street. It's not just the expectation that we will love Jesus and we will receive the Spirit of truth. There is love for Jesus by the disciples. If you love me, you'll obey my commands. But then there is this second thing, love for the disciples by Jesus himself. If you look down in the passage, down to verse 18, Jesus reassures the disciples. They've already, at the beginning of John 14, in some sense, they're complaining, they're worried, they're afraid. Jesus, the one who's been with them, who is their rock, who has kept them safe, they're completely confident in him. Jesus says, I am leaving you. But in a sign of love, in verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you as orphans, or I think literally put, I will not abandon you. That was their fear. And so as an act of love, Jesus says, I won't abandon you. I won't leave you as orphans. What's an orphan? Somebody who's no parents. Particularly, one might think, somebody who is fatherless. Somebody who's lost. In that sense, Jesus says, I won't leave you as orphans, but it's not just words. His love doesn't come just as words. What does he say? Well, he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor. So we see love for Jesus by the disciples. If you love me, you'll obey my commands. We then see love for the disciples by Jesus. I'm not going to abandon you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you fatherless, rudderless, all alone in the world. What I'm going to do is, because I love you, I'm going to ask the Father. And he will give you a gift of another counselor. A counselor, somebody who will walk alongside you, just as I've walked alongside you. So we have this love for Jesus, love for the disciples. And then we have simply, we can say, there is here the love of the Father. This confidence that Jesus has that the Father will give this other counselor. The Spirit of Truth, the one who will be with them, the one who will stand with them, who will walk with them on their journey. So when Jesus speaks about the Spirit of Truth, it is within this context of love. Love for Jesus, love for the disciples, the love of the Father. Everything here is bound up in love. So that was the first thing. It's a context full, lavished in love. The second, let's just remind ourselves, we've got love, love for Jesus, love for the disciples, love for the Father. But then we ask the question about truth. What is truth? And I don't know how many of you have ever studied philosophy, but you could probably do an entire degree course just on this question of what is truth. It's a very deep and involved question for philosophers. What is truth? What is truth? And what normally comes down that any of us could, you know, we could just make this statement and leave it. But of course, if you're a philosopher, you can't. Nothing can be left. In philosophy, what they really come down to is a belief is true if and only if it corresponds to a fact. Now, you and I, you know, we could have come up with that over coffee. Could we? You know, we don't need a degree course to kind of get ourselves there. But philosophers who have argued for centuries over what is truth, this is really what it comes down to. A belief is true. Something is true if it corresponds to a fact. Of course, we're reminded that when Jesus was on trial before Pilate, Pilate, in a scathing way, what is truth? Almost as if he had been promised truth, almost as if he'd been surrounded by those who said they were true, they would speak the truth, but Pilate has been let down. And at this point in his life, he is cynical and scathing about truth. And it might be that we come to this point in our lives because of our own experience, because of what we've been through, because of what we've heard and endured. It may be that we ask a similar question. What is truth? I can no longer depend on that which is true because I don't know anymore what is true. Now, philosophers say, well, you need to know the facts. And once you know the facts, then you can determine that which is true. But when we read the scriptures, particularly when we read the New Testament, it is not about facts that the Bible turns to assert that which is true. The Bible turns to Jesus. And we had the words earlier in John 14. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The New Testament particularly, but the whole Bible, speaks of truth in a very personable way. Truth is related always to a person, to people, to relationships. So what is truth? Do we determine truth just by facts? Or is truth for us determined by a person? The Bible encourages us to see that Jesus is the truth. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Bible encourages us to see that truth is found in Jesus. If we look to the teaching of Jesus, if we look to the actions of Jesus, if we can get inside the mind of Jesus and the heart of Jesus, his thoughts and emotions, it is there, the Bible encourages us to understand, it is there that we find that which is true. And so truth is more than just propositional statements, a list of this is true, this is true. You can tick this off. You can believe in this and this and this and this. And how many of us have been encouraged to come to faith in Jesus by a list of propositional statements? I remember when I was first challenged about the Christian faith, I was basically asked, do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you believe this and this and this? Tick all the boxes. Well, that makes you a Christian. The Bible doesn't speak simply in terms of propositional statements. Statements, this is true or that is true. Because the Bible speaks in terms of truth being encompassed in a person. In Jesus. And this can be immensely confusing if you're a philosopher and you want to nail it down. It's very difficult to nail a person down. Truth. What is truth? The Bible, truth relates to people and to relationships. And we might speak of a true person. Have you ever been referred to as being true? I think in carpentry, isn't there an expression about something being true or design? And you're not talking about a fact. You're talking about, you know, is it straight? Is it flat? Has it got any weaknesses or irregularities in it? A true person. The Bible speaks of truth being embodied in a person. A true person in whom there is nothing false. Somebody might be of a true character. So within them, there are no lies, no falsehood. They are utterly trustworthy. They're completely dependable. The understanding that a true person is wise and a true person, and I say, is not just loving. A true person is love. They embody love. They embody wisdom because there is something very deep about their character. They have taken truth deeply within themselves. And I say, a true person is wise. A true person is love. It's not just somebody's actions. You know, I guess we all from time to time can be loving. We can all from time to time do wise things and say wise things. But the Bible communicates the idea of truth being embodied in a person. It's about people and relationships. It's very deep. It goes to the core, to the heart of who somebody is. So when Jesus speaks about the Spirit of truth, first of all, we need to pick up, I think, it's in love. We must never forget love. Often, I guess, truth is separated from love. And sometimes we can bash one another over the heads with truth. And we can hurt one another with the truth. And sometimes it's not very wise to speak the truth. You say, well, surely it must be, I'm only telling the truth. How many times have you heard that? I'm only telling you what's true. Yes, but it's not loving sometimes to speak that which is true. Sometimes it's better not to say anything. And so when Jesus is going to speak about the spirit of truth, he first talks about love, and it's all bound up in love. The biblical understanding of truth is less about hard facts and more about a person, Jesus himself. And so when Jesus says, I'm going to ask the Father to give you another counselor, to walk with you, to be with you, he speaks then about the spirit of truth, John 14, 16 to 17. And then if you read on through John 15, you have a similar comment. Jesus speaks again about the spirit of truth who goes out from the Father. He will testify me and then about me. And then in John 16, but when he, the spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. Now, truth not just being facts, propositional statements, but being a person. What is Jesus encouraging the disciples to understand? As the gift of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, as you are filled to the very edges of your being with the Holy Spirit, what are you receiving? The Spirit of truth. The Spirit who brings to you not just truths. The Spirit who brings to you one who is true. Next Sunday, we celebrate Pentecost. A reminder to us of that day when the Holy Spirit was unleashed, lavished upon all those gathered together, expectantly, waiting patiently for the great gift of God. This spirit of truth. The blessing of the Holy Spirit. The blessing of the Holy Spirit that we ask God for ourselves and ask God for others. The blessing of the Holy Spirit is about saturating us with truth. Saturating, that's a good word. Saturating us. Immersing us. It is about a baptism into Jesus, into truth. That is what the blessing of the Holy Spirit is about. And of course, it brings about a deep and profound transformation in us. And this is not instantaneous. It doesn't happen just in a moment, but something begins that can shake us. They can move us so that we know something has begun in us. God has begun a good work in us. And it's a transformation in us that we might be true as Jesus is true. That we might be true as God is true. So when Jesus says to his disciples, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to abandon you as orphans, fatherless, rudderless, lost in this world. But I'll ask the Father to give you another counselor, the Spirit of Truth. He's speaking about love, relationships of love. He's speaking even about himself, that which is embodied in himself. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, it is to saturate us with truth, to saturate us with Jesus, even to baptize us with truth and with Jesus. What is our response? What is our awareness of our own need to be filled afresh with the Spirit of Truth? to be filled afresh with the Spirit of truth. To be filled afresh with the Spirit is to be filled with the presence of Jesus, the one who is true. We're going to take just a few moments just to be quiet where we are. And my encouragement is that we close our eyes so that nobody else can see what you're doing. You may want to just open your hands before you as a sign of openness to God. It may be that there are particular issues that even as I have spoken, issues, people, situations that have come into your mind and you need to hold them before God because you don't want to hide them from him anymore. It might be that there are sins you've committed and you're aware of them. There may be shame and sorrow. And we hold ourselves before God. What is our response? Let us be open that God might speak very specifically to us. Father, we pray that in this still moment, as we seek to be open to you, you would pour your Spirit afresh upon us. We would know something more of the Spirit of truth. One who is faithful, dependable, who is true, who brings Jesus to us. Who fills us with the presence of Jesus. Father, might we know more of your grace and kindness. For Father, for some of us, to speak of truth is to speak of very painful things that have been said to us and done to us. So, Father, we pray for your grace and for your love. And we might know the dependability and the faithfulness of Jesus at this time. Father, do a deep work in us that we ourselves may be true. Amen.